Welcome. Good evening. Thank you so much for being here, and welcome to all of you who are with us in person, those of you joining us online, and anyone who may listen to this later. We appreciate you being here for the City Council meeting for the City of South Jordan. Today is Tuesday, March 21st, 2023. My name is Dawn Ramsey. I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the great City of South Jordan, joined by these outstanding public servants on our City Council here next to me. Thank you to each of you for your service to this city. We also have our administrative staff here, and we appreciate each of you very much. Thank you to those of you presenting, to members of the public who are here. We welcome you, and we are going to open this meeting tonight with an invocation by our Director of City Commerce, Mr. Brian Priest.
Our kind and gracious Father in heaven, we're indeed grateful for the many opportunities we have in this beautiful city, and we're thankful for the moisture that we've been blessed with and the ask you to continue so we can fill our reservoirs and ask you to help us to still remember to be prudent with the water we have. We ask you to help us with the spirit of cooperation tonight that we can discuss some tough issues we have before us, that we can understand one another's positions, and we can come to a decision that will benefit the community as a whole. And we say these things humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Priest. We will turn to our Director of Strategy and Budget, Mr. Don Tingey, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Will the audience please stand and follow me as we recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Mr. Tingey. All right, we have our minutes from our March 7, 2023 Council Study Meeting and City Council Meeting that have been sent out. We need to approve those minutes. Are there any amendments, changes, questions, or concerns? And if not, is there a motion to approve those minutes?
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve the minutes for the March 7th City Council Study Meeting and the March 7th City Council Meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Shelton. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Any additional discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes from March 7th from the City Council Meeting and the City Council Study Meeting, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? These minutes are approved. All right, we are going to do our mayor and council reports, and because a couple of you are so impressively ahead of the game and sent some pictures of some of your events, I've been asked to start on this side, right? This side?
I'm not the impressive one.
Well, well, there's some pictures, so I've been asked for the first time ever to go in a specific order.
I blame this on Councilwoman Zandra.
Yes, all right. Mr. McGuire, you get to go first.
Last night, the Arts Council had their art show, and the mayor was able to be there along with Councilmember Marler. Had a great turnout. The art was fantastic. It seems like the quality talent continues to grow each year. And I believe that's everything since our... Oh, and today also participated in the master plan for the arts that's being worked on. And that was a great meeting and gave me some new creative ideas that we'll see if they gain any traction. And that's everything, Mayor.
Awesome. Thank you. Last night was great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Great talent. It's fun to get to be together. And encourage any of you that are interested to go check out the art show. It is taking place right now at the Gale Center. You can go. It's free. And there's a lot of amazing talent out there on display here in our city from our residents. So encourage you to check it out. Mrs. Zander.
Yes, Mayor. I guess I'm the photo person. I didn't tell them to tee this up, but this is kind of fun. There you have it on the screen. Saturday was our South Jordan Race Series event, and as you can tell, it was a St. Patrick's Day theme. Go for the Gold is what it was called. If any of you have not had the opportunity to come and attend or visit or watch, these SoJo races are an absolute blast. So the thing that I love about them is not only do they allow an opportunity for those who are like true athletes to get in there and compete, it also has categories of ruckers who are really high-end ruckers and then like really mediocre ruckers. If you don't know what rucking is, look it up, Google it. It's kind of the trend. But it's a great opportunity for people in our city to get together and move and exercise and laugh and have fun together. And the momentum is increasing quite a bit. Councilmember Harris and Councilmember Marler were both there with myself and Mr. Lewis, our assistant city manager. Mr. Jarman, were you there? Yes, you were. Okay, so there were several people from our city there. It was a lot of fun. And our Josh from our public information department took some fun videos. Anyway, great event. Every month in the South Jordan City, we have what's called the South Jordan Race Series. So if you like walking or running or rucking, go hop online and look at it. Next month, April what, Mr. Luce? 22nd?
22nd
is Earth Day. Yeah. So dress like Bigfoot and show up for the rucking. Anyway, just kidding. Then on Monday, yesterday, I got the opportunity to speak at the Rotary Club Student Teacher Awards. And the Rotary Club chooses or has their principals choose a senior or junior from each high school that has outstanding service. So last night when I spoke, there was three students from Bingham High School, two students from Harriman High School, a couple of students from Paradigm School, and they were there with their families, and I got to speak to them about leadership, and it was a terrific opportunity to engage with some of the youth in our city. We are in good hands. I'm amazed at the hard classes they take, the GPAs they carry, and the service they give. It's really amazing. So if you're ever feeling disheartened, there are some terrific youth that are really going to bring up and have great leadership in our city and in our communities. And then tomorrow, I sent an email to the city council. The South Valley Chamber of Commerce has a South Jordan Business Committee, and that group has organized a veterans event, first annual veterans event. We're inviting all the veterans in the city of South Jordan. So if anyone is hearing this and hasn't been invited, just know that Wednesday night at 5:30, we're gathering, and there'll be a comedian and dinner. And then I believe this will be an annual event. Mr. Francis, you're probably going to talk more about this. But really great group of South Jordan business leaders. And that's it. Thank you, Mayor.
Awesome. Thank you. And I love the pictures. That's great.
My husband bought the green wig. I didn't.
Awesome. Where are the rest of those photos? I want to see the rest of them.
If you stay at the end, you can.
Oh, here we go.
There's
Brad.
There's his favorite. I was told, go in this order and put me last. So I think.
And where's your green, Mr. Marler?
That is a green-ish ish shirt.
It's not quite that green.
It's not that green.
There we go.
Yeah, compared to that other fluorescent green, doesn't stand out very much. So, and here's some photos that I'll mention as well. So, I'm going to start by mentioning that we did have an architectural review committee meeting. Actually, last week, it was for the reception center on 106 South, 3600 West, coming along very nicely. Should probably come to Planning Commission in the next few weeks. I did go on the Sojo Race series. I participated, as Councilwoman Zander mentioned, in the ruck race. The ruck is a ruck sack. Where you put a lot of heavy materials. Mine was not as heavy as Mr. Lewis's. His was about 40 pounds. Mine's about 25. And I walked and was very sore after 3.3 miles. And I can tell you that Mr. Lewis was jogging with his 40 pounds. So very impressive. I also attended, as mentioned, the South Jordan Art Show. My wife actually has two pieces of art that she's showing in the show this year, and just had a delightful experience. It's a lot of fun. If you haven't gone, and you probably haven't because it just started last night, but you really ought to plan. Take your families. My recollection is that our planning commission chair has two or three pieces of her children that are in the art show. So Michelle Hollis's children are in it as well. Had a meeting earlier today with prominent businessmen, future expansion, many opportunities for jobs. And so that was very enlightening and opportunistic, I think, for the city. Two other things I'll mention. Actually attended a choir number that was presented at the Carrington Court. We don't talk a lot about that particular assisted living center or memory care center. I'm sure the fire department knows all about that particular facility. But in my other life, I happen to be a choir director and my wife's the pianist, and we got to put on a full choir number for them, and it was just absolutely delightful. So there are some wonderful, wonderful people there. Many of them are aging. Many of them would not remember 10 minutes later the musical number, but they were very thankful while they were listening to it. Awesome. And I'll also express appreciation for new playground equipment at the Jordan Ridge Park that is going in right now. And so we're excited. I have a lot of neighbors, several neighborhoods that surround the Jordan Ridge Park, who are excited to see that that new playground equipment finished sometime soon, if we ever get spring or summer. So that's awesome. It for me.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Mr. Harris?
Yeah, I also attended the South Jordan Race Series. It's an event that I'm always excited for. I don't know if I'm always prepared for it. It is a lot of work to run those, you know, over 3 miles. But I enjoy it. This one, I sometimes ruck it. This one I ran. I ran it. My wife and my daughter also ran it as well. And I think something that was interesting, so that there's my daughter on that picture there in the purple, and my wife is in the orange. And then there's our dog. And I remember when we first started doing this, I think I might have been the first person to bring a dog on one of these races, and it's so fun to see how many more people are bringing dogs.
Catching.
Yeah, on in getting out there. So whatever it takes to get out and get some exercise, but it's good exercise. It's a lot of fun. It's amazing how many people the event continues to grow and grow and grow. So it's a lot of fun. The staff does an excellent job, you know, in the race series. So thank you for all that you do. I know that a lot of work goes into that. I also attended, I'm a delegate, so I did attend the Republican convention, and so that's those meetings go long, but they're it's a long day, but I do enjoy going out there, and that's my report.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Shelton.
Since our last meeting, I attended the Jordan River Commission Executive Committee meeting, and we finalized the business plan for the fiscal year for the Jordan River Commission. And just last evening, had another Western Growth Coalition meeting. And at that meeting, we discussed the future of the Western Growth Coalition. And in many ways, I think that group has run its course, but we agreed to have a format where we have a meeting right before the legislative session, invite legislators to come and talk about upcoming legislation, and then a few meetings during the course of the legislative session. So, and I was persuaded to hang in there until after this next meeting, and then they'll get a new president for that. So, anyway, that's what I've done, besides skiing quite a bit.
So. Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Wow. I had the chance to attend the state unified basketball championship, which was awesome and fun to be there to cheer for our teams. We had a couple of meetings with Jordan Valley Water as trustees, some important meetings. Things are going well. The water district is in a really good position and very mindful. I know everyone worries about water. We all are concerned about water, and with good reason. But if I could give any words of reassurance that the water district has a 50-year plan that is not only conservation-based. There is so much good planning, expert planning. I marvel at the water experts that we have, and at the degree of planning and engineering that is being taken, considering historic and best practices and the future and growth and everything. There's a lot of good work being done. So just to report that things are going well with the water district. They're doing really good work. We had an Envision Utah board meeting, talked a lot about legislative roundups. There's been a lot of legislative roundups, right, since the session ended. In fact, I don't know that I even had it on my list, but I had the chance to go to a legislative roundup that the South Valley Chamber put on as well, with Speaker Wilson and Senator Fillmore, and it was very well done. Had breakfast with Mayor Wilson and Mayor Silvestrini as we talked about a lot of regional things impacting the county and the hats that the three of us wear, and the opportunity we have to collaborate and work on some significant things. So that went well. Met with the representatives from the Fulmer Legacy Boxing Project. They had some great updates. They've done a really good job with fundraising. They brought in some good, very impressive renderings. It's exciting to see that project coming along, so it was fun to hear from them and to get an idea of where that's at. And they still need additional funding to get that project finished, but they're getting close to getting started. I mean, it's really moving along. So that was exciting to get an update. It's been a while since we've heard how that's going, and it's going really well. That was exciting. I filmed a segment for KSL Studio 5 called Your Beautiful Community. I have no idea when that airs. Maybe it already has. I don't know. But filmed a segment for Studio 5 about our beautiful community. So that was really nice that they reached out and said, we'd love to highlight your beautiful community, would you? Yes, I'd be happy to. That's awesome. So that was good. Also had an interview with the Deseret News, who wanted, they're writing a big collaborative article. It sounds like it's a pretty exhaustive article on city planning and good city planning. And I appreciate that the reporter reached out and said, as mayor of a city who is very good at planning, would you be willing to be interviewed for this? Yes, our city is very good at planning, and we're very proud of the efforts that are made in South Jordan City to plan. So did that article. I also don't know when that comes out. I have no idea. But it's nice, though, to have the media recognizing the good work that we're doing and to want to highlight that. I thought that was a good thing. I had the chance to record a podcast. If any of you are not aware, since Dr. Godfrey became superintendent of Jordan School District, he's the first superintendent in the world, in America, anywhere, to start his own podcast as superintendent of the school district. And it's called The Supercast. And now they've had him speak nationally, and states invite him all over to come and tell us how you did that, because he's got a very high number of listeners. And I was invited by Dr. Godfrey to be a guest on his Supercast, which will be released tomorrow for Women's History Month. And talking about our longstanding collaborative relationship, but really talking about so many other great things happening here. And outside of the governor, he hasn't had elected officials on. He did do one that was the Riverton, what did they call it? The Silver Wolf Caucus, because we have a couple of legislators who all went to Riverton High School. So he did talk to that Silver Wolf Caucus. But anyway, great opportunity to highlight what we're doing here and the good relationship we have with them. And so that comes out tomorrow. It's been a privilege to be part of the Outstanding Educator Awards across the district, and we've visited almost every school in South Jordan so far. We had we have a couple still remaining, a teacher that was out, and a couple more that are getting additional awards that are coming forth, but most of the schools we've had a chance to go present the Outstanding Educator of the Year Award, and it's just a treat to spend time in any of our schools. It's really just a great opportunity, and to thank our educators for their work. And I had one, I think it was Welby Elementary's Outstanding Educator. She's retiring this year, and she asked me to pass along how much she appreciated the city's support during COVID. She said, those letters of support and all of the work that was done and your partnership with Live Daybreak when they gave us the money, the gift cards, whatever, she said, I cannot tell you how much that meant and helped us get through, and asked me to come back and tell all of you thank you. So I love that. Had a couple of meetings with Intermountain. There's some good progress being done with Intermountain. And those of you who may not be aware, they are celebrating 40 years of transplant services that Intermountain's done at LDS and now at IMC. So anyway, it's significant. I feel like I learn a lot every board meeting with Intermountain. But they are working to be good community partners. And you'll recall that they donated, for the first time ever, $500,000 to the league and $500 to WFRC last year. to help with healthy community planning. So, yeah, it's good. I couldn't read that. We had a meeting with the Point of the Mountain is coming along quite well, and things are moving along there. So one thing, as you know, that we're quite concerned about is making sure that there's integration in transit between our community and the Point, and what we're putting in our community and the Point, and being able to allow transit options for folks to get around and to get to what we're doing and vice versa and to live and work in these places. So had some good conversations about that, some good meetings about that. Met with several of our residents, and part of that was also Dan and I attended the Bingham High School baseball team fundraiser, and it blew my mind. I was not prepared to walk into something that impressive. I about fainted. It was really, really well done. And just so you're aware, Bingham High School is the only high school in the state, as far as they know, that does not have bathrooms and locker rooms out there for the students to use right now. They just are run down, and it needs to be done, and they don't have access to that. Yeah, even the patrons don't. So there's like a port-a-john or something somewhere. But anyway, it needs to happen. And so the parents here in our city have set out to raise their own money to help make it happen, and they've worked really hard. It was really impressive. So I suggested that they reach out to a couple of very specific people at the school district and sit down with them, and that meeting happened yesterday, and I was invited to it but had another meeting. Anyway, I got follow-up that it went extremely well, and I think we'll see some nice improvements happening at Bingham High School with the baseball program there that are very needed. So everyone, the team, the players, patrons, it'll be good for everybody.
That's good news.
Yeah, it's really good. So happy about that. Quite a bit of time with Wasatch Front Regional Council as we are working on getting our regional transportation plan passed. So just so you're aware, why does that matter to us? The last 4 years, I've chaired the Regional Growth Committee that oversees that regional transportation plan that we update every 4 years. There are some updates on the new regional transportation plan that are important to us, as it's a living document and we update it every 4 years. So as we continue to grow, one of the elements on the new plan that is scheduled to be approved in May is the central station, the central track stop. That's an important one to make sure gets on the plan. It needs to make it onto the plan. And you may see this in the media. We've got a lot of folks who are maybe have a misunderstanding about WFRC's role. There's a lot of passionate folks who, and rightly so, but they, for one reason or another, believe that WFRC is making the decision about whether or not a gondola would go in Little Cottonwood Canyon, and WFRC has no authority over making that decision. But there's a lot of people who think that we do. Nobody cared what I thought about a gondola until I became chair of WFRC. Now, there's a lot of people who think that that's our decision. It is not our decision. So you might see some media come out from our meeting this Thursday. We're anticipating a good-sized crowd coming out, and we'll do the best we can to help people understand what is and isn't our role and what we can and can't do, but that's not a decision for us to make. So in case anybody asks you about it,
who would be deciding that gondola?
That is UDOT. It went through a federal EIS process, and WFRC, as the MPO, is required to include any federal EIS project in the long-term plan, required to by law. So the third phase includes a gondola in there with approaches that will mitigate the impact and potentially not even require a gondola eventually. That the legislature just approved $150 million to fund phase one. But because it's a federally mandated EIS process that requires us to include it in the plan, people think it's our decision and we're voting to put in a gondola, and that is not what it is. So I want to clear that up because it'll probably be all over the media Thursday after our meeting. But it is important that we get the regional transportation plan passed, and that's just one of the reasons why it's important to South Jordan City that we get it passed. We had a board meeting with the league yesterday and some good conversations about our conference coming up in April. In case you hadn't heard, Tim Shriver will be our keynote speaker, and he is Tim Shriver, Maria Shriver's brother. He is the CEO of the International Special Olympics. It was his mother, Eunice Kennedy Shriver, who started the Special Olympics program. Anyway, he's working on a program nationwide to promote dignity in meetings just like this. and the Dignity Index, and he's going to come. Tammy Pfeiffer is working with his chief of staff to help create that, so it should be really good. So look forward to that in April, and I hope you're all able to come. Finally, just there were quite a few meetings with stakeholders, various stakeholders, the Miller Group, Merit Medical, just lots of city stakeholders, community stakeholders that do business in our city or have great interest in our city, lots of that. So anyway, it's been abundant, and this is quite a week, so that's my report. All right. We are going to go to our public comment period right now. This is the time for anyone, we'll start in person and then we'll transition to online, but this is the time for anyone who would like to communicate or share thoughts with the City Council to do so, with the caveat that if you are here to speak during the public hearing, we have a public hearing about the annexation, that's the time to speak about that. But if you're here to talk about anything else, we'd love to hear from you. Everyone gets 3 minutes, and we'll invite you to come up to the microphone and give us your name and address, please, for the public record. And as always, I always say the same thing. If you've listened or been here at all, you know that we ask that we maintain the decorum that we're very proud of here in South Jordan, that we have a civil dialogue, and you have that promise from each of us. And we ask the same from each of you because we all care about this city and the direction that we go, and we can work together to come up with what that looks like. We may have different ideas, but we're very proud of how well we work together in the civil dialogue we have here. So with that, I will open the public comment period of our meeting. Anyone in person who would like to speak, the time is now yours.
My name is Grant Howarth. I live at 10763 South Country Creek Cove, otherwise known as 1195 West. I'm here tonight as an ordinary citizen of our great city. It's a pleasure to speak with the council and mayor. We appreciate it. And though one of my remarks tonight will probably be directed at staff and staffing positions. My purpose tonight is very simple. I'd like to say thanks. I lived in this great community for 38 years, and the city has helped along the way in many ways until I started feeling that I ought to say thank you for all that you do, certainly the integration into the other areas of responsibility, but the areas of responsibility of the administrative staff and what they have done for me on a personal basis as I've lived here and noted, and I'll just try to pick up a few of those things. My purpose is to say thank you. I recognize that I probably only see 1 or 2% of what all goes on in city administration and those who are in the city who make things happen as well. You know, just before I was going to have a back operation, I had decided that I was going to work out at the community center and took a couple of classes and used the track. And even though it didn't work out, I still had to have the operation. And that operation led me up to a small handful of months afterwards, and the leaves were falling. My neighbors were fantastic, and I was doing what I could as well. But it kind of got to the end of the season, and I still had leaves in the gutter, even though I'd got my lawn cleaned up. And I called the utilities department and said, I need some help, and we don't need this stuff downstream. And sure enough, within a day or two, they were there to sweep the gutters and take care of it for Grant Howarth. At age 80, I'm not able to do all the things that I could before, but when we started here, we had lots of little trees planted. Our neighborhood is lined with now large oak trees. And as they grew, they pushed up the sidewalks in a few spots, and sure enough, they just came along and they ground down the sidewalks for me and others in our neighborhood as well. After my operation, I had lots of pills left over, and I really didn't want to leave them around the house. And so the police department provides a nice drop box for all the extra medications. And that doesn't seem like anything, but it's this growth of little things that make nice things for us who live here. I have to, while I'm talking about the police, have to maybe in humor. The line on Redwood Road turning left onto 104th was most of the way to Logan, I think. And I, being somewhat an impatient person, jumped that line and got up in the left-hand turn lane. And I had the police officer pull me over, but kindly and with full extension told me what I had done to the others who had signed in line, and gave me a description of what 500 feet meant in terms of the closeness of jumping the line. Along with those trees growing, we ended up with kind of a dark neighborhood in a way. We all had our own lights outside our houses, but it got kind of dark, and those trees getting 30-plus feet, both tall and wide, and all of a sudden we had streetlights going up in the neighborhood, which made it feel a little safer. Not that I've ever felt unsafe in our neighborhood. And those leaves, you know, they just kind of pile up, and pretty soon the city was offering dumpsters that we could, over here by the tennis courts, and we can throw them in there. We go along to city activities, and I served on the history committee for a little while, and got Eccles to give us a little money. But when you got through with the fundraising kind of it, there was still a big pot of money that was needed. And there the city was again. And another reason for me to say thanks for doing what you do as cities. I am a participant in a parade, in the fireworks with my family, with the art exhibit last year, and a number of other city activities that we enjoy as a family, and not only as my children were growing up, but now as my grandchildren are, I'm with most of them still living in this city. Recently, we've had some heavy snowfall. And I suppose I'm running over my 3 minutes. Sorry about that, Mayor.
You know what? It's so sweet to have somebody come in to say thank you. You can take as long as you'd like.
Well, you know, we've had a couple years. A few years ago, we had the snowfall, and it wasn't much, and it was maybe 6 or 8 inches in our cul-de-sac. And we called the city and said, don't plow our little cul-de-sac. We want our kids to be able to play in it. We'll take care of what we have to take care of. And they did that. Well, this year, as we've had two major snowfalls, we've had the blessing of having the snowplows come early. I expected them in 2 or 3 days, but they came, though, in the evening of late, in the evening of the first day. And that has happened a couple of times this year, and we thank that department, for assisting that way. Last summer, my wife and I decided that we were going to flip our strip. We live on a corner, so we have about 240 or so feet of a parking strip. And we got busy on the west side, and I decided that I wanted to put some pavers in and make it add value to the property in the process. But in the process, I found out that you had to have 50% covered in foliage at maturity, and what I was doing wouldn't do that, but I thought was as beautiful, if not more beautiful. And so I went to Connor. Somebody knows Connor? Yeah, and Connor was very kind, very generous in his thoughts. And, it was fun to hear that, some of the supplies were provided. Thank you again for that arrangement. And it, kind of helps out the process. And A little story about Conard is, well, he sent me up to engineering because he didn't feel like he had the authority to approve a plan that didn't meet the minimum requirements. So I went up to engineering. The engineer comes up, and I hand him the plan and the ideas, and he thoughtfully looks at it, and he either a new employee or a student or something was with him, and he was explaining what he was doing and thinking in the process. And he not only signed off the project, but he made sure that I had a copy of the paper so that I would have evidence that what I was doing was good. Interesting little piece of that. Silly things to say thank you about. But as I was laying these pavers, my stop sign, which kind of gets used as a goalpost or something for the kids coming home from school, was a little teetered, and I keep stuffing it in there. I said, would you move the post 3 inches over away from the curb? That way I can get my pavers without having to cut around them and make it look like gingerbread. And within a day and a half, they came, pulled the post, moved it over to exactly the right spot, and pounded it in the ground further than it was before, which is a nice thing as well. Well, I just wanted to share that I've lived here for 38 years, and I have enjoyed this city and its gratefulness. One of the very funnest of things has been to watch administration work from the sidelines. You know, you've probably just seen me once a year, and it's the first week of January. And I'm the guy that comes around and met Pat first, I guess, and then I had met Gary previously, and he sent me to Dustin, and Dustin has been a shepherd of my personal project. And that's to make sure that we recognize Freedom of Religion Day, not only for Christians, but for Jews and the Muslims and all of the others. You know, in the world, Christians are the most persecuted people in the world. But here in the United States, the Jewish people are first in line, and our Muslim friends are second in line in terms of persecution. And we seem to have a way of being on two sides of things rather than agreeing on things and finding appropriate compromises. And we need to learn more. And I think Freedom of Religion Day that this body has approved and whom Dustin has shepherded over now, 4 years, I think we're on, of having you approve that resolution. And since you, South Jordan is really a leader amongst the cities around Salt Lake, two other cities have since adopted resolutions. And we've got two more on the hook for this coming year, hoping to get the Southwest Quadrant involved in that process and maybe get a little rolling energy out of it so that we can remind ourselves, which the resolutions and proclamations do, that we need to be kind and civil to each other in the things that we say and do. So I give thanks to the vision of the administrators, certainly to you as a council and as mayor, but to our administrators, managers who provide an output of vision and execution to that which we have and enjoy, and with a vision to the future for this city, because I consider it a great place to live and a great place to raise my grandchildren. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd love a copy of that. There might be times we'd love to read that. Well, perhaps we can get it transcribed. Yeah, Grant, thank you very much. Appreciate you. Is there anyone else here in person that would like to speak? Okay, seeing no one, is there anyone online that would like to speak that is not planning on participating in our public hearing later? If you are here with questions or comments that you'd like to share about the annexation, we have a public hearing for that in a little while. Okay. Thank you. Seeing none, we will close this public comment period. And we have a presentation, two different presentation items. The first one is a proclamation. In honor of the Vietnam War Veterans Recognition Act of 2017, and we've got some guests here with us. So we will read this proclamation, and then we are happy to have you come up and join us. Our friends from the Daughters of the American Revolution come up and join us, and we'll be part of, we'll present this to you down there, if that's okay. All right. A proclamation of the City of South Jordan in recognition of Vietnam War veterans and their families. Whereas the United States of America Vietnam War commemoration gives us the opportunity for all Americans to recognize, honor, and thank our Vietnam veterans and their families for their service and sacrifices during the Vietnam War from November 1, 1955 to May 15, 1975. And whereas more than 11,000 organizations across America have joined with the Department of Defense as commemorative partners to honor our nation's Vietnam veterans, including all nine chapters of the Utah State Organization National Society Daughters of the American Revolution. And whereas this commemoration includes the 9 million Americans, approximately 6.4 million living today, who served in the U.S. Armed Forces during this period and makes no distinction between those who served in country, in theater, or were stationed elsewhere during those 20 years. All answered the call of duty. And whereas March 29th, having been designated as National Vietnam War Veterans Day in accordance with the Vietnam War Veterans Recognition Act of 2017, the last day that U.S. troops were on the ground in Vietnam and now recognized as a special day to honor those who had served and to extend gratitude and appreciation to both them and their families, be it proclaimed to all that reside within the bounds of the City of South Jordan, Salt Lake County, State of Utah, that forevermore, March 29th, 2023, is Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day. With this, we are proud as a council to be able to issue this proclamation and would invite you to come up and join us. We'll present it to you. Okay, thank you. You and we appreciate everybody who served and represented our country. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming and appreciate everyone who served. We are now looking forward to hearing from Jay Francis, a South Jordan resident who is also president and CEO of the South Valley Chamber of Commerce, who's going to give us a 2022 update, kind of a year in review, state of the chamber. Jay, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor, City Council. This is how techie I am. And they said to press it and talk slow because it'll go slow. Thank you. We just recently put this presentation together, and we thought that we'd like to do it earlier in the year rather than in July or August when you're arguing over budgets. And we've got good news to share. So I wanted to start off by, this is kind of our mission. This is what we do: connect, educate, advocate, and grow. Everything we do kind of falls underneath this. We recently had Chad Hymas, who is from South Jordan. I was his state president 100 years ago, and he's recently spoke at one of our events, and he went on for like 5 minutes about this banner that we had up at our event and what a great mission statement it was. This past year, we also gained some recognition in the media. We did a small business Saturday after Black Friday, and the media covered it. We hosted the Firefighters Challenge over in Sandy. And then we got great coverage on our event last August, where we hosted all four of our federal congressional representatives, with Senator Lee, Senator Romney, Representative Curtis, and Representative Owens, all in one place. And it was a great event to be able to have them. And we packed the place where we held it. Being a regional chamber, we have decided we needed to kind of bring all of our programs in and make them branded, kind of brand central. And so we have taken all of our logos of our programs, and they've got some branding in it, so that when somebody sees it, they know, okay, that's the South Valley Chamber. And Don and the team has done a really, really good job in branding this. South Valley Tourism. It really, years ago, was just Sandy, but it's branched out, and with the permission of the Sandy Tourism, using some of the funds that we've got, we have done a lot. And of course, you know, South Jordan has three hotels that up there, right close to the I-15, that really benefits from the events that we bring into the Mountain America Expo Center, as well as working with Visit Salt Lake, and I have the opportunity to sit on their board and bring sportive, you know, with now a new division of Visit Salt Lake called Sports Salt Lake. And we brought in, we did 65,000 room nights. We had 16 major events. They went to, Chris from our staff and from Visit Salt Lake went to 102 trade shows, and they made 5 major visits. It was $37 million economic impact, and we spent $78,000 to get that. I've asked my investor, if he could do that with my investment funds, and he said no. So it was a good year with tourism, and this year's already starting out to be even stronger. Our Women in Business program is something I'm incredibly pleased with. The quality of the women, the quality of the events, and the programs that they put on for our women in business. We had 10 lunches. And then on the far left there, I haven't adjusted the slide. On the far left there, this is a fun statistic. I took the picture out that went with it, but we hosted two events with the Period Project ladies, which they're incredibly pleased about. But our events donated over 2,000 products for women and for schools and for businesses. And the picture was me holding the products with the ladies in pink. So, and they said, Jay, you're the only one. And I said, and I had a pink shirt on. I said, I'm not proud. But what I am pleased about is that $11,000. Last year, with girls that are in high schools, and this year we're up to 13 girls from different high schools. Next year, this school year 23-24, we're opening it up to all high schools, including private and charter. But we take girls from high schools. They're assigned a mentor from our Women in Business Committee. They shadow them. They mentor them. They do a service project. They come to all of our lunches. They have to give presentations. And at the end, so in 6 weeks, we're going to have our graduation, and Charlene Wells is speaking to them, and we'll present them with a $1,000 scholarship to a school of their choice. It just kind of gives me goosebumps to think about what we're doing for those young women.
I had a chance to meet the young women from Bingham and the young women from Jordan High School, and have lunch with them and attend one of those events and sit down with them. Impressive young women, yeah.
And during this, I mean, I know this is 2023, but during this last legislative session, we had a day on the Hill just with our junior WIB girls, and they were able to really get hands-on and find out that they don't want to go into politics. Our Business Institute, which has become a hallmark, you know, kind of our university, if you will. We have Everyday Entrepreneur Program, which is a program that we partnered with Salt Lake Community College. This is for somebody who has a shoebox and an idea at home. They're in their garage, they're in their basement, but I don't know how to start, and I don't know if it makes sense. And so they go through this 10-week program, and at the end, they either have a chance to launch or they've learned, I need to go back and work for somebody else or start over, that's good, too. You don't want them wasting thousands of dollars doing something they can't do. Our Business Accelerator is kind of our flagship of our institute. We graduated 35 people from that program. We call it, unless I'm with Taylor Randall at the U, I refer to this as our MBA program. He doesn't appreciate that. And we have a course going on right now, and we'll start another one in July. We've done this now for 4 years, and our graduates have said, well, what's next? What can you provide? And so we created, with some educators' help, our business mastery. And last year was our first year of business mastery, kind of taking it to the next level. Also part of our institute is a South Valley Leadership. And I wish that this had something like this when I was a mid-level entry person in business, that this had been something that I could have participated in. So we have a really large group cohort right now, and last year was really good. But every week, you know, they meet once a month for 10 months, and there's a theme. Like, it might be transportation, which was one of the fun ones last year. We started off as housing and transportation, and we went out to the airport, met in their boardroom. UTA came out and presented. UDOT came out and presented. The airport presented, then put us on a bus and went out on the tarmac and showed us all the construction. We couldn't go in the airport, but we could go on the tarmac. And their eyes were like silver dollars. On the Arts and Entertainment Day, we toured Hale Center Theater from top to bottom. We toured the Real Estate, went behind the scenes with Megaplex Theaters, and down to, you know, someplace else in the arts. But so we've done housing, we do government. This year we spent the whole day during the legislature, and we brought brought legislators in to speak to them. They get to learn from the experts, and they get to go home and say, guess who I met? And it's really been a great, so leadership from a whole different standpoint, not they're learning from the leaders. Our Government Affairs and Public Policy Committee is really starting to gel. Last year was our very first year. This year really took off. But last year we took six people on our trip to D.C. This year we're up over 12, 14, I think. And then we tracked 20 bills last year, and this year we were over 60 bills that we were working on. Our Small Business Committee continues to be a resource for us in helping us understand what small business is looking for and what products we can help provide. Our Source came out of that. Our podcast came out of that. Source, which is our Small Business Expo, we saw a 320% increase last year, and we had great presenters. It was just listening to Nicole Tanner and Bennett Maxwell was just worth the admission, which was little anyway. But and listening to Bennett Maxwell take the gloves off on the cookie wars, and he said, I've already been sued, so I don't care. And it just really went in depth on what was going on with the cookie wars. And I think half the participants left and went right to SWIG by the time Nicole got through talking. Let's do lunches, our monthly lunches for all of our members. And so I've been doing this, and it's hard to believe. It just seems like it was last month I was working with Gail Miller and the rest of them. But and then before I retired. But I went to the first two Let's Do Lunches after I accepted this role and came away from that and said, we can do better, because they were lunches. And they put business cards in a fishbowl, and they drew out for two tickets to someplace. And I said, if somebody's going to take time to go away from their business, leave the time doing what they do, they should walk away from a lunch saying, I'm better, I've learned something, and that was worth my time. And so every month we focus on, you know, having something, and you can see some of the speakers we had last year with Jason Hewlett, Chad Hymas, James Hadlock, Dr. Matt Townsend, and Kim Gardner. You know, we want people to be able to say their hour and a half away from what they were doing was worth it. Our executive forums last year, I kind of have referenced some of those, but again, this year we did the same thing. We were supposed to have President Adams, but we had Speaker Wilson, and we had the four federal members of our delegation. We also had a in the know with Robert Spendlove, not as in his economic role, and we had two other in the knows. We're going to have Friday. And I think I've sent all of you an invite for this coming Friday. We got an in the know with Howard Headley to talk to us about banking and how is it going in Utah. I learned from Larry Miller that business is like a three-legged milk stool. You take care of the customer, make a little money, and have a little fun. And our golf tournaments provide all three of those. And last year we held three golf tournaments at River Oak, South Mountain, and Glenmore. And we had a lot of fun, and we made a little money. And the $109,000 came back to be able to help support and do the programs and give the scholarships and things that we've talked about. And we're going to do three more again this year. And Jamie's got us all organized, and it looks like we're ahead of last year. Our Hallmark event that I had the opportunity to start as a board member back in 2009 is our Titan Awards, and this last year was a phenomenal one. And we had honored Sid Tetrol, Mark and Sally Dietline, and Steve Starks. From our small business committee, we added something new to our Titans. They said, is there a way for a small business and for some of our small business leaders to rub shoulders with the Titans? And so we honored and recognized a small business of the year at our Titan Awards, which was Shelley from Abacus Accounting. And Shelley was in the first cohort of our accelerator program, and she took it and applied it, and she grew from herself to seven people who were running about 10 to 12 clients themselves. Her goal, our professor makes them submit a goal after they get through with their accelerator. Her goal when she graduated was, someday I want to run this business. I want to have 7 to 10 employees, and I want to run this business from the beach in California. Last year, she bought a place in Huntington Beach, and she's there tonight. So 2023 is really, we're calling it the year of the member. It's always about the members, but we're starting two new things, new member orientation and meet the new member. And the new member orientation has just been off the charts. It's something I've wanted to do for a year. I just haven't had the bandwidth, had to get some other things. But it has just been fun to be able to bring the new members in and to tell them what they get and how they can maneuver our website so that they can get more. And the Meet the New Member luncheon is already, we've got our first one coming up in a week, and it's already being well received. Something we started, as it was referred to by Councilwoman Zander, with our small business, our South Jordan Business Committee. We've doing a lot of great things as a regional chamber. And I kept thinking, you know, we don't want to lose that hometown feel sometimes. And so we have created city committees around business and business initiatives or just doing things together as businesses. And we wanted to do that. And we have a great committee. They felt like maybe they bit off a little more than they could chew the first year, which is tomorrow night with this veterans thing. But you know, we pulled some resources together for them, and as of this afternoon, they have over 130 people coming. A week ago when we met, we had 12. And so we kind of had to start reaching out. But it's going to be a great event tomorrow night, and we appreciate Mayor Ramsey's being there. And any of the rest of you who would love to go, we'd love to have you. And I've got to be in three places at the same time at 5:30 tomorrow night, and I haven't figured that out yet, but Mayor Ramsey will excuse me. Business boot camps is something we've started. We've held those we're moving them from city to city and doing them within the city offices, and we've held one or two here already, and they're going off. Well, we want them to be, in fact, I think we were just here last week. We want them to be small. Like the last one we just had was by Now CFO, and we want them to be 12 to 20 people. We want it to be small. We want it to be hands. It's for small businesses to come and learn and get skills that they need, and whether it's from Now CFO, or the last one was really good, was about how to interpersonal skills within your business. And something that small businesses don't get, that I took for granted for 35 years because it was all built in within the Larry Miller Group. The other thing I would, I mentioned the Small Business Committee, and one of the things we have learned from that is the South Jordan businesses love you guys, and they appreciate the whether it's at the district, whether it's the businesses we interact with River Park out at Daybreak. Everywhere I go, they are grateful they're in South Jordan, and they recognize what you do for them. We did 175 new members last year, and because of last year was our first year, a high percentage of those are probably 40% of those are South Jordan, and now it's our goal in July to renew all of them and to get them to come back. So that's my report.
Thank you, Jay. There's a lot of smiles up here. A lot of smiles up here because that is fantastic.
I had that rib. Since last August, we have done, I counted this morning, we've done between 8 and 10 ribbon cuttings. We appreciate your support. And that when we email, and I realize you're busy and you have, this isn't your full-time job, but at the, when you're able to come, we appreciate that support, and so do they. We appreciate that.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions or comments for Jay?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I get a picture from my mom? I'm just kidding.
Thank you, Jay. Appreciate you and your team and the great work that's happening and the benefit that it is to businesses, large and small, in South Jordan and across the region. Very well done. Thank you. Okay. We have item H1, which is a presentation on Ordinance 2023-05, Petition of Annexation filed by Kennecott Utah Copper LLC and Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District. We're going to turn to our city attorney, Ryan Luce, to give this presentation and walk through it. And then, by way of note, I will invite representatives from Rio Tinto Kennecott, who are the applicant, to also come up and present or say anything you'd like, and then we will go to the public hearing. We always do it in that order. We have the staff present, and then we have the applicant speak, so that as much information as exists can be shared before the public weighs in, so you get to hear everything in advance that they come and present. So with that, Mr. Luce, please.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Presenting before you tonight, the annexation petition. You guys know the history, but to put it on the record and so everybody's on the same page, the city of South Jordan has had a land annexation plan for a long, long time. I've been here 17 years, and it was there when I got here, and it hasn't changed. We recently updated the policy that goes with that last May, and you guys will remember doing that. But we didn't change the map or the boundaries or anything at all. We just said if people who own land in an unincorporated area want to annex into South Jordan, we feel it's up to their discretion. If they want to talk to us about, or the city about annexation, we will talk to them. So we updated that in May 2022. Over the time, as you know, over 4,000 acres of the west side of our city annexed in and signed an MDA in about 2003, and that is a master plan community we call Daybreak. And the owner of that property was Kennecott Rio Tinto, and they were our partners for many years. They divested themselves of that property at some point, and now, as we know, it's in Larry H. Miller's hands. In the MDA for that property, or for that development, in 2007, we did a change to the interlocal. We did a an amendment. And in that amendment, among many other terms, we actually had this language in there. It says, master developer and the city agree to engage in cooperative planning to support the annexation of the contiguous area owned by the master developer, meaning at that time Rio Tinto Kennecott, and or its affiliate successors or assigned, generally located south of 118th South and east of Highway 111, consisting of approximately 1,300 acres. So you can see by that language, this is in 2007, there were already discussions and thoughts of possibly annexing more property at that time, mainly to our south into the city of South Jordan. As time passes and as things happen, some of that area was annexed into our neighboring city, Harriman, and things change. And recently, discussion started pursuant to that provision of would South Jordan be interested in annexing in that property and also property west of the city. And so there's a map. Yes, I brought slides, which I never do. I don't like pictures generally. But you can see by this map that's included, well, really an aerial plan, that's included in the annexation petition, which was filed, well, the notice of intent in November 2022 and the petition in December 2022. This is land somewhat to our east on the bottom part of the screen. And then, oh, I can pull a Steve. That's the east land that we were talking about before. That's
the south
land. Or south land, sorry. But east of U-111 is what I meant. That is south of the current boundary and east of U-111, which was contemplated clear back in 2007. As the applicant has looked at their property and future needs, and frankly, as they've expressed, I'll let them speak for themselves, but they've expressed a desire to help cities kind of understand the long-term planning of the valley and how their property, which they own a lot of, especially on the west bench, is impacted by that. They also included that area there. So from the standpoint of good planning, wise land management, the Rio Tinto Kennecott has been moving forward and following that agreement made clear back in 2007. The petition, as I stated, you heard it or you received in December 2022. There were no protests filed. This comes before you for a public hearing, after which, if the City Council desires to, you can approve the annexation through the Ordinance 2023-05. In an effort to be as public and as out there as possible, there's also an MOU, which is not part of the public hearing, but there's a relevant portion. So in the annexation, we have to say what the land is zoned. Well, master plan community zone in the city of South Jordan is a PC zone, but it requires a community structure plan, a lot of planning, a lot of things that generally you don't do at the time of an annexation. In fact, hardly ever. It would be the exception to do that. In this case, without going to that extent, which would take not only a lot of time and effort, but also a lot of engagement, and as the council's considering it and wants to hear public feedback prior to accepting an annexation or approving an annexation, what the applicant was willing to do is engage with the city in outlining some of the basic ideas of how this would develop, and that is expressed in the MOU. The big deal points in the MOU is a committed number of units, which if you do the math, works out to be the same density as is found in our master plan community of Daybreak of 5 units per acre. Commitment on parks, and especially there's a commitment in there to work with the city in building a park in the first 10 years after beginning construction of this community, should they be annexed in. A commitment on open space, and that they would apply for, and we'd work through all the obligations in the PC zone. So that is when, or that is the presentation. Do you have any questions for me? I actually should mention one thing. In addition to the MOU, which gets more information out in public, there's been a public engagement through our social media. I am not the expert in that, so Ms. Van Cleve could answer more questions there, but also the applicant has worked with us in providing a website with videos, with Q&As, or FAQs, not Q&As, but FAQs, and other information for the public, which will continue to be updated as things progress forward should the council decide to annex in this area.
Ryan, for the public's benefit, will you define that acronym, MOU?
Memorandum of Understanding. And A5 is agricultural, 5 units per acre. So really, no one would develop that land. It's our version of a holding zone until we have the PC zone, which would define much more.
Which I appreciate you specifying that there has to be some kind of a zone on there, with the understanding that written in the MOU would be the actual zoning that it would, it's anticipated to be, which is the 5 units.
Yes. And from a process standpoint, should you choose to approve the annexation, we would finish up the process, and in July, the Lieutenant Governor's office would approve the annexation. And then the second map, if you could put it up, I want to use all my materials here because I never bring materials. That would be what the city would look like. That would be the city of South Jordan, should you choose to do that.
Thank you. I think, Mr. Lewis, we're going to turn to you with more questions after. Appreciate your presentation. And now we have Wayne Bradshaw, Shannon Ellsworth, Carl Barton, and Josh Brown here from Rio Tinto Kennecott. So looks like Wayne, we'd like to turn some time over to you to, as the applicant petitioning the city to annex this land. I'd love to hear from you. And
thank you. I've just got PowerPoint presentation and a short video I'll share. But thank you, Mayor, Council, for giving me some time tonight to give some context to our application and for considering our annex application tonight. I want to cover three things. Why now are we bringing this annex, the application to the city? Why this area? And what are the next steps as we look forward if you approve the application tonight? So why now? Kennecott is celebrating 120 years this year in the state of Utah, and we're very excited about that. But as a mining company, we always have to be looking to the future. For example, sometimes we have to move dirt for 2 years before we hit an ore body. But at the same time, we have to continue to be producing ore to continue to allow the rest of the operation to function successfully. So we always have to look to the future. We have to plan for the future, and we have to adjust for ongoing changes. And this land that we're considering tonight for annexation, we have always looked at this land as having the potential for future development. But previously, we've always had the luxury of having fields separating this land and communities and housing developments. That's no longer the case. We now have approved developments to the south of the property. We have contemplation of developments on the eastern side of the property. But the challenge we have is that we know this property can be developed in the future, but we're not part of those conversations when it comes to infrastructure, roads, pipelines, sewers, placing of schools. And we think the annexation brings us to the table. It clearly defines the area that we want to develop, and it clearly defines that we're participants with the other developments in the area, as well as those responsible for serving this area with utilities and infrastructure. So that's why we're doing that now. We may not anticipate developing any, you know, immediately, but we can be part of the conversations today. So as the other developers are looking at roads, they're not dead-ending them. They're not creating cul-de-sacs. When schools are being considered for placement, they can consider that future growth. So we think that when this property does come online for development, it's a smoother and better transition for the city and for the residents in the area. Looking at the map, why this area? Obviously, our northern and our eastern boundaries and southern boundaries are dictated by other property owners. The western boundary, we still own property to the west, But we've done a couple of reviews internally, and we've determined that the property to the west, we will need in perpetuity, meaning no matter what happens in the future, we will need it for ongoing operations. So we won't look to annex it in the future. We won't be looking for development. But we know the remaining of the property, it has that potential. So we're trying to send a clear message to the community and to the city that, yes, this has potential for development, but as you look to the west, we're going to retain that in perpetuity. And finally, what's next? Obviously, Ryan touched a little bit on the MOU. We feel like the MOU, if approved, puts the guardrails around our planning process. We have a lot of planning to do, and there will be more engagement with the city and with the residents. But the MOU sets those standards. It tells us that our density won't be higher than any other planned community in the city. It tells us the open space. It tells us, timing of some of the parks. So it sets those boundaries by the city that we then can go and have a very clear and successful planning process. We do have a website. It's kennecottlands.com. That right now is where we have this map. We have an FAQ that addresses annexation. It addresses the MOU. We also have an email where people can contact us if they have questions or concerns or would like more information. We also have a timeline. We've tried to, high level say, this is what we anticipate when we plan on coming back to the city, when we plan on engaging the public further as we start looking at a master development agreement between us and the city of South Jordan. So I would like to play just a short 3-minute video, and then I'd be happy to try and answer any questions the council might have.
After more than a century of doing business in Utah, we know our success wouldn't be possible without our community partnerships that have been built over the decades. After all, the communities in which we operate are also where more than 2,100 Kennecott employees and their families live. We care about being a great company employer, as well as an active and reliable community partner. The aptly named community of Copperton is an incredible part of the Kennecott story. Created by the Utah Copper Company in the mid-1920s to house employees and their families, many area residents have fond memories of attending Bingham High School when it was located there. Today, Copperton is still going strong, with more than 750 people calling the town home. At the northern end of the Ochre Mountains, miners founded Magna in the early 1900s, next to the site of Kennecott's Magna Mill. Given a name meaning great in Latin by one of Kennecott's founders, we're proud of our long and productive partnership with Magna. Through years of support for the local Chamber of Commerce, Senior Center, and recreational opportunities. In recent years, Kennecott shut down its coal-fired power plant in Magna to reduce emissions in the area. With a nod to the company towns of the early mining days, Kennecott redefined Utah's concept of a modern community in 2000 by creating the award-winning Daybreak Community in South Jordan City, which became and remains one of the most successful master plan communities in the nation. Daybreak was built on reclaimed land, and the 4,000-acre development set new standards for community design and livability. South Jordan continues to be an important community partner to Kennecott to this day. While celebrating more than a century of helping to build Utah, Kennecott is also hard at work planning for what comes next. For example, Kennecott's owner, Rio Tinto, has invested more than $5 billion since 1989 to ensure the Bingham Canyon mine and related operations remain as modern, efficient, and safe as possible. Today, Kennecott contributes around $1.6 billion to Utah's GDP every year. At the same time Kennecott is planning mining operations, we're also planning for community needs on the land to the east of the mine. We've started long-range planning and are working closely with South Jordan City to connect future neighborhoods in this beautiful area of the Ochre Foothills. Projects like these wouldn't be possible without the strong and deep community relationships and partnerships Kennecott has built over the years, with dozens of local governments and other public agencies, as well as nonprofit agencies and business groups. Kennecott's history in Utah is long and proud, and working hand in hand with the community has been part of who we are for the past 120 years.
One other thing I did want to mention is, you know, as we were looking at what we could do with the future of this land, obviously, as Ryan referenced in the 2007 amendment, we discussed contemplating bringing that conversation to the city of South Jordan. But we are excited for this opportunity because we think there's a lot of synergies on our previous experience and our previous work together with Daybreak. We think there's lessons learned on both sides, and we think that we can apply that in a future development. So we think this is the right partnership, and we're excited, and we hope you will approve the annexation application tonight. Happy to address any questions you might have.
Thank you, Wayne. We will do the public hearing, and then we will have the council ask all of their questions to whoever, because sometimes we get questions that come up from the public that are good for us to be able to answer during that time.
Great.
So thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Okay, I'm now going to open the public hearing on Ordinance 2023-05, annexing the area and extending the corporate limits of South Jordan City, Utah, to include the area described in Exhibit A and amending the South Jordan City zoning map to designate and zone the annexed area as agricultural A5 upon its annexation into the city of South Jordan. With that, I will open to hear anyone who's here in person first, and same rules apply. Everyone gets 3 minutes. We please ask you to please give us your name and address for the public record. We need to have that. We're required to have some record of what happens here. And so in the spirit of civil decorum that we are very proud of, the time is now yours. If anyone would like to speak during this public hearing.
I'm Bob Paxton, 1073 West, 10250 South. And thank you for your presentation. And Mayor and City Council, thank you for your work. I just have a few questions about this. You know that I'm a water person, wondering where our water's coming from. And I recently attended a water conference, a water symposium at the U of U Law School last week. And there was some very surprising, a lot of surprising information there, some of which there has been, Laura Briefer said, we've had zero planning on how to replenish the water which we use. And they were talking about the Great Salt Lake and other places. I thought, oh, wow, that's we have some work to do. So my first question is, where's the water coming from? Is Kennecott bringing the water shares in? Are they purchasing water from the water bank? Where's the water going to be coming from? Because for those of us that live on the eastern side of South Jordan, we do have larger yards. We have trees, shrubs that need to be watered. And I like to thank Jason Rasmussen for helping me to understand the new water growth that we have for our city. I don't know if Jason's here. I've never met him in person, but I have met him on the phone.
He's not. The director's here tonight.
And he's very helpful. That's Jason?
No.
No? Okay.
Next time.
And then the other question I have besides water that probably other residents would have, especially as, you know, I'm on the eastern side, to expand to a city of 35 to 40,000 people, additional people, and I'll be long dead before that comes to pass. But as that happens, then there's going to need to be some infrastructure on that east side to bring water, sewer, and such out to the west side. Because it seems like in this valley, everything runs kind of centered in the middle of the valley. And so what will be the tax implications for those that are not? I know that Kennecott will be paying, or this development will be paying for the infrastructure there, but what are the other infrastructure costs through taxation that would that other residents would incur? And I think those are fair questions and that's really, those are the two questions I have. Oh, one other. I know that with the development of Daybreak, South Jordan had very little control. If they wanted to make some tweaks, it was a very difficult thing to do. And I'm wondering, will South Jordan have more control than they've had with Daybreak? Which, if they're going to be part of South Jordan, it seems like there should be, you guys should be able to make some decisions and not let them make every decision. You know, as in paragraph 9, the agreement under the MDA. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Thank you for coming. Is there anyone else here in person that would like to speak? Going once? Going twice? Go ahead. We're not scary, really.
I expected a lot more people to be speaking. My name's Sam Bishop. I live at 10893 Lake Run Road. So I am a Daybreak resident and just felt like I had some things I want to share as a resident and, you know, input on something a bit similar. So one thing I love South Jordan and I love Daybreak, and I feel like sometimes there's more of a separation between the two than is necessary. There's a lot of things special about Daybreak that I wouldn't want to lose. But during this recent snowfall, for instance, knowing exactly who's responsible for what in terms of snow removal, it's like I still don't quite understand it. And the city and Daybreaks both have art councils, community centers, parks, program. I just wish there was less of duplication and that South Jordan and Daybreak felt more one. So the other thing I wanted to mention is I live kind of along South Jordan Parkway, and as all you guys know, I'm way into cycling and that sort of thing. And I feel like, I know two of our council members have been involved in crossings of South Jordan Parkway, like near schools and stuff like that. And the agreement's been that once crossings are warranted, then the developer would pay for those, right? When it comes to cars, we plan out 30 years ahead and we build for it now, right? But when it comes to other modes of transportation, we kind of wait. And as I've heard it described, we don't build the bridge until we've seen enough people swim the river, right? I hope we do things differently in the future. And speaking of that, I believe our most dangerous intersections in the city currently are on the west side there, where people are crossing the Mountain View corridor, right? It's our busiest crosswalks and super dangerous. So I love the fact that that there's talk about taking people under, doing like grade separation, right, on Highway 111. So thank you for that. And my time's up. Thanks.
Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it, Sam. Anyone else? Last call for anyone in person.
My name is Carol Sancho. I live at Lake Terrace Avenue, and I have a couple of questions. So as this annexation will put on tens of thousands of new residents So how is Salt Lake County planning to help with traffic? We have multiple corridor that seems to have space for expansion, but we're going to have much more traffic with that, and I have a lot of concern about that. And my second question is, given the history of the mine in the area and past contamination, so how is this construction going to manage potential lift of chemicals in the process of this construction?
Those are great questions. We'll get to those. Yeah. Thank you. We'll try to address all the questions that have come up. Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else here in person that would like to speak? Okay. Seeing none, is there anyone online that would like to speak during this public hearing? If so, I would ask you to please turn on your camera and give me a wave. We need you to have your camera on and be identified in order to speak. Okay, one more invitation to anyone online. All right. Seeing none, we will close the public hearing on Ordinance 2023-05, and we will turn to the council and probably invite Mr. Luce and Mr. Bradshaw just to be on the ready, right? So, because we'll have some questions, but anybody have questions you'd like to start with to have addressed? We'll just start here. Mr. Shelton, go ahead.
Thank you.
Let's make our way down the road, if that's
okay. I don't know which one of you should answer these questions, so I'll just put them out there and you can fight over who gets to answer them.
I'll defer to the attorney.
That's always a good practice.
That is wise. Yeah. So, Wayne, do you have any sense of timing in terms of when construction could start and when homes might actually be occupied in this area?
Not a specific time, no, because we're still doing a lot of planning and we're doing a lot of analysis to determine when and where the best time would be to build and not interfere with our ongoing operations. I can tell you that a large chunk of the property is probably 40, 50 years out. The majority, the U-111, the western portion, that's probably a long ways out. The
east-west of U-111.
Correct, sorry, the west of U-111. But as far as, you know, when you could see the first house being built, we still have a lot of planning left to do, but as the timeline shows on our website, we anticipate coming back to the city in the fall, as well as having some open houses in the fall where we can better define that for you.
Okay, and so I actually haven't seen your website. I apologize for that, but
no worries.
Your thinking is to try and initiate the master development agreement or start constructing that. I know it's going to be volumes, but
correct.
This fall, is that your plan?
Yes. So we think the MOU sets the guardrails for what will then move into our conversations with the city on a master development agreement, and that will give us more clarity on when and where things will happen. But I would say that we can better answer your question in the fall.
Yeah.
About when you could potentially see it, the first house on the property.
Right. And the MOU specifies a number of dwelling units that gets to this 5 units per acre idea.
Correct.
And the piece that you're talking about west of U-111 possibly could never be developed, depending on your mining operations and certainly well into the future. And so I assume that the master development agreement will reduce that total number
for the homes that would be built on the east side of U-111?
We do anticipate that the master development agreement will more clearly define when and where things should be built, and if, meaning, where does the density, where do the units go? We think that will be more clearly defined in the master development agreement.
Okay, good.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Specifically, at Section 3 of the MOU, talks about the number of units, 11,450. But there's also provisions in here, and I didn't highlight them, that talk about spreading those out over to property. And so it'll be further defined much more clearly in the MDA when the planning process is done. But to alleviate concerns, both the applicant and the city are committed to those units being spread, if not equally, in roughly proportional to the area. There will be clustering, just like in Daybreak, where you have bigger lots and smaller lots and higher density areas and lower density areas, but it won't be like all the lots will end up east of U-111 and west of U-111 will be fallow. That's just not contemplated nor allowed by the MOU.
Okay, that's great. And we have timing of completion of the larger park. That's part of the MOU. The timing of the completion of the smaller parks is not contemplated in the MOU, as I recall. Will that be defined better in the master development agreement?
Certainly could be. Those are things that, well, some of the questions went to, and Mr. Bishop's kind of what he talked about, went to things we learned. And recently in a combined Planning Commission City Council meeting, lessons learned as we anticipated this meeting here. And so those are some of the things we've learned of how do we get that timing. One of the big focuses is there's a certain need for a certain kind of park, and that was our focus in the MOU. And so as we come back to the MDA, we'll be visiting, if it is approved, we'd be visiting with the council. The council would be negotiating with the developer on timing of the other parks, location of the other parks. They would likely be more than likely be west of U-111 if the 30-acre park is east. And so those things will all be worked out and, you know, through the process of the MDA, Master Development Agreement.
Great. I'll let my fellow council members take a turn now. I've still got a list of questions, but I'm guessing that there are similar questions that others may have as well. So.
Thank you. Mr. Harris, would you like to go?
Sure. I mean, I think we can just probably ask some of Bob Paxson's questions. You know, first one was about water. You want to comment on this question was, where is the water coming from? So
the city's answer to that is Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District, as this will be annexed in to their annexation area. They've been planning for it. Mayor, you're on that board. You know better than I do all the planning that's gone into it. But that's where it will come from. Also, when you talk about water as a whole, conservation has been South Jordan's focus for the last decade or more, and we even have our own conservation employee. Sorry, I don't remember titles, Joey. But we have an employee dedicated to that, and so we're working on reducing water. We're one of the better at doing that in the state, I would say, and the focus is there. We have obligations for commitments of water that would be, well, Jordan Valley would be working with Rio on.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say is we have met with Jordan Valley Conservancy District, and they have asked us to try and develop in a way that cuts in half the per person per gallon per day usage that is the current standard in the state. They've asked us to try and cut that in half in the development. That is one of our goals that we're working towards. But there's still a lot of planning on how does that look, what does that look like, and how do you apply that. But that's something Jordan Valley has challenged us with, and we're certainly evaluating it and working towards that.
As far as the follow-up on those questions, the infrastructure capital costs are, as long as they're to serve the development, are built by the developer. And those are according to our standards and specs, which you recently readopted this year with any changes that Mr. Clavino, our city engineer, brought to you. I'm seeing pointing.
Go ahead.
I didn't know whether I could elaborate a little bit
yes,
more on the water.
Please, water.
So over the years, Jordan Valley anticipated growth in the Salt Lake County area. In fact, all of Salt Lake County would be developed other than the mountain ranges to some degree. But they did that, and in doing so had made large purchases into various reservoirs in the Uintas. And with that, there's a lot of conveyance costs to bring that water, and including blocks of water out of Strawberry Reservoir, which we never have used yet. So there has been planning, and there has been a lot of exercises understanding that this what the growth would be at build-out for Salt Lake County. And this land was actually contemplated in that. And because of those conveyance fees to bring that water farther away, like from Strawberry Reservoir, there are a different cost. So this property that will be annexed into the city, if done, so will actually have a different rate for those payers up there that contemplates paying for part of that conveyance fee of that water being brought here. So I just wanted to say it has been planned for. Jordan Valley tells us they have water blocks for that, and that's part of how that it's being paid for is through a different rate.
And
that makes sense.
That's about where I was heading. I didn't have all the background of the reservoirs. So thank you, Mr. Watcott. The capital cost of building of the infrastructure for the system is built by the developer, and that's how they all go. We're working with the current owners of Daybreak on building their next tank and those costs. And so those are part of it if they serve that development. The operations costs and the rate are paid for mainly by the rates. And Jordan Valley also has the ability to tax. And so I would suggest Mr. Paxton or anybody who wants more information on how they divide their rates versus their taxes to address Jordan Valley. But as Mr. Watcott pointed, this would be in a different rate group than other parts of South Jordan just due to timing and where the water comes from. But the owners and buyers there will clearly know what it is. The rates are not hidden. They're open for everybody to see. In fact, I believe they have a tiered rate structure now, and so everybody can see that rate structure. As far as, do you want me to go down the list of Mr. Paxton's questions?
Do you want to just talk about sewer for a minute, too, just real quick?
You probably know more than I do since you're on the sewer board.
Do you want me to comment on sewer? Yeah.
From what I understand, they're annexing into the South Valley sewer.
Yeah, so, I mean, I also sit on the sewer board, and so, you know, there's discussions, you know, when that, you know, goes, you know, before South Valley sewer board, you know, what that looks like, and, you know, there'll be an analysis done, you know, whether it's, you know, whether there's a separate impact fees for that area or what it is. There's lots of that needs to get evaluated, but we'll have to wait for that to get, you know, requested, you know, through South Valley Sewer. So it'll just go through its normal expected process. I think, you know, overall, Ryan, I think questions, the overall question that residents might have is, so residents that are in the already established part of the city, do you anticipate that there's going to be financial impact to them? You know, I think it's a question, an overall question that people mm-hmm. have, you know, in any form, you know, by having this annexation and the future either infrastructure costs or you know, whether it's water, sewer, whatever it may be.
So the way to answer that is yes and no, or as lawyers like to say, it depends.
Yeah.
The capital costs of anything are borne by the developer, and that includes capital costs of parks, public safety, all of those costs. That's why in this case we wouldn't be charging impact fee for parks because we're working with the developer on their impact, and we have master plans that define what that is.
Yeah.
For police, fire, public safety, we have those impact fees. We know we will likely need stations out in that area. Well, not likely. We will need fire stations out in that area, maybe another police substation like we have out in Daybreak now at Fire Station 64. And so all those are built into formulas that we have through master plans, and those are the capital costs. The ongoing maintenance of those costs or operational costs, the employees and everything, things that are not capital are paid through by collecting tax revenue. And as homes come in, the value of that property is much more than it is sitting fallow right now. And right now that property is not even in our city. And so those homes pay property taxes. The city of South Jordan for decades, well, for at least 15 years, really didn't raise taxes while I was here. I've been here 17, When I very first started my first year, there was a slight tax increase, and then there's been two in my last about 4 or 5 years, and it's all been, well, the most recent one mainly for public safety type related expenses due to inflation, the just climbing costs of both construction of facilities and especially for employees. And so how things go in the future, that is that tied directly to this development? No. Is it tied to having and operating a city? Yes.
So I'd like to comment on that. So, tax increase that we had has been to address, you know, the rising cost of public safety. Could you maybe address some of the things, you know, that we're looking to do here, you know, as far as future, you know, if we have to build future stations, you know, what that looks like?
Yeah, and I should be clear on that. So people think taxes go up every year and capture inflation. They don't. We don't get that every year. We only get that when you as a council move the tax line. And so the fact that you've done that to capture inflation, it's not like every year as everything else is captured, just so people understand. Yeah. As far as working with the developer, we're working with Rio Tinto Kennecott on getting land donations and backbone structure of roads, infrastructure, as much as possible, as early as possible in the process of planning and zoning. So things are very well known, and we know where things are going to go. And that's that in-depth planning process they're really going through. That's why the MOU is a very basic skeleton of the highest priorities and not here's what everything's going, because that takes a significant amount of time and time that you invest once you know that we have a relationship through the annexation. And so all of that is being contemplated, looked at, discussed. There's infrastructure language throughout the agreement that addresses the concept that we're going to work together to locate everything as early in the process as possible.
Yeah, which would save us money down
the road.
You know, if we had to build additional fire stations.
Exactly.
That's kind of what we're getting
at. It saves the city a lot of money. Yeah. It saves the developer money as they plan. And so from the standpoint, I shouldn't speak for you, sorry. But it helps in the planning process to know where things go.
Yeah, there's everything that there are certain things we can control now to try to prevent future, you know, tax increases, is if we can identify and get lands donated now, so we don't have to go in there and acquire purchase lands in the future. That certainly helps with that situation.
And all of that is contemplated in the MDA to the extent we're going to be able to. Again, remember, it'd be nice to say, okay, when we sign that MDA, we're done.
Yeah.
Remember I told you about the provision in the First Amendment to the Daybreak MDA? First Amendment means there's more than one. And it also means we're mending things, because when you're planting thousands of acres at a time, in 2003, when they signed that MDA, they didn't know what was coming along in 2007 or 2015 or 2023. And things, I mean, that's why we have the ability to adapt over time.
Okay. Mayor, I also have more questions, but I'm going to pass some time over so everyone gets a chance to ask questions.
Okay. Thank you. Yep. Mr. Marler.
So I think Mr. Paxton also was referencing the MDA, the Master Development Agreement, and we've talked about it already several times, but I think the point he was asking about is, you know, do we have the safeguards or the guardrails? Will we have those in place? We had a Master Development Agreement with originally the Daybreak area, and will we have that with this additional over 2,200 acres? Maybe you could just comment on the fact that we will have an MDA and we will put as many guardrails as we can think of, and part of why it will be successful is because we've done this before, we've learned from it, and we'll probably add some additional things that will keep us on track.
Yes, we'll have all that. And as I understood, part of his question is, will we have a little bit more control as things adapt over time? One of the lessons learned that the Planning Commission and City Council talked about a few weeks ago is that at times it seems like the master developer is able to adapt to, well, like the economy in 2009-10 and things, but it changes the product you see and when. And we want to give that level of flexibility to anybody developing thousands and thousands of acres and homes. But at the same time, we want to be able to learn the lessons that we learned from the Daybreak process and what has happened over time. So we understand better, if not control, because they need flexibility, certainly better knowledge and understanding and part of the planning process. We found with the most recent owner, well, with the first owner, Rio Tinto, and the most recent owner, Larry H. Miller, they integrate us much more in the planning process than the owner in the middle. And that's part of it that we're going to try to build better in the MDA, and we've had discussions. And this is, in some ways, should you choose to accept it, a partnership over a long period of time, 20, 30, 40 years. I hope to be alive somewhere near the end of it, but probably not.
I'll ask one more question, and it was the third individual. Was it Angel or Angel?
Carol.
Sancho?
I didn't quite get the name I was writing down. Yes, Carol. Okay, thank you. One of the questions she asked was regarding traffic concerns, and I thought it might be good to mention that we've actually hard-coded in the memo of understanding that, in fact, the development will adhere to the city's transportation master plan, and we don't have, and maybe talk about the fact that we only have so much control over pieces of transportation in the valley and in this quadrant.
So I'll take the first part, and then I'm talking too much, so we'll let Mr. Bradshaw talk or finish off. But the first part is, one, we have a master plan for the city. We don't have one for this area, obviously, because it's not in the city. But upon annexation, that parks, transportation, all those master plans, we start to work on those should it be annexed in. Also, we follow the Wasatch Front Regional Council's 2050 plan. They still call it the 2050.
The Wasatch Choice 2050.
Yeah, that. And that has a lot of those principles, if not actual layouts of where it goes. Both Rio Tinto Kennecott and the City of South Jordan, we have our city engineer here, have been heavily involved at looking at a realignment of U-111 Bacchus Highway, which is going to change in the near future, 5 years?
I think so.
More or less. And there's significant investment being put into that. There will be big pushes to extend light rail and other things, not that we control those processes, but certainly push to do those things because it makes the transportation flow better. Transportation is, if not the biggest concern with any development, one of the biggest concern. And I'll just say very frankly, the fact that Rio Tinto Kennecott has chosen to come into South Jordan at a density of 5 units per acre, which is 2 units per acre lower than an adjacent master plan community. That in itself reduces the number of cars significantly, and it's a partnership that builds a great product, like you can see it in the master plan community we have, the Mountain View Corridor. I don't mean to toot their own home, but Mountain View Corridor, the tracks line, all that came when it was Greenfield because this developer saw the vision of putting it in first. This is the partner we would have should you choose to accept it. And so from that, and then you'll know better than me, Mayor, you're the chair of Wasatch Front this year. Mountain View Corridor is being funded to convert to a freeway on the south end first. That is that in the next 5 to 10 years?
It is. It's been funded and moved up in priority. The projects, because of historic funding by the legislature, have been able to be moved up. But I'm glad you mentioned that because to try to answer the question that came up, the south portion of Mountain View Corridor from down where it ends all the way up to, is it new or old?
I think they're going to switch it.
Old Bingham Highway. Our portion of Mountain View Corridor is slated and funded to be converted to a freeway first out of the entire system because of what's happening here and because of what's been planned in partnership for so long. That's been a heavy lift and a lot of work to help make sure that the legislature understands it, that the regional transportation plan understands it, that people get it, what's happening, and that this is part of really due diligence, good planning to mitigate the impact of all of what's happening in the only land left in Salt Lake County to develop. So that was a big win for us. That's a success for us. And I live right by the Mountain View Corridor, and so that matters a lot to me, and that's how I get everywhere. But if I may, that's going to be key in helping our east-west transportation, because if we can strengthen and expand, which is planned, the U-111 corridor and Mountain View corridor, and finish the conversion of Bangor Highway to a full freeway so people don't have to travel so far east to go north and south, that's going to make a big difference on our roads. So that's the priority, is to get the north-south funding completed so that it just is going to make a game-changing difference. And it has to happen in order for the area to succeed, and we are making that happen. So.
And I just want to add that, you know, it's important to us that the potential future residents of this area, that this is a place where they want to live. It's a place where they enjoy living. And that's why we do want to be part of those conversations about traffic and potential solutions. As Ryan stated, you know, Mountain View Corridor and tracks at the time when we were developing Daybreak were important to us, and we worked to make sure that this part of the valley received that service in a timely manner. Obviously, we want to be part of that conversation and make sure that residents now and in the future enjoy living in this area. And then I will say about the land, is it safe to build a home on? At Kennecott, we have a culture of safety. We start every meeting with a safety share about how do you make sure that you are safe at work, you're safe at home, and that you can come work and feel like it's a safe place. It goes for as well as this land. We want to make sure that it's a safe place for people. We have done evaluations, and we know that it is a safe place for people to live.
Thank you. I appreciate you addressing that, because it's a good question. It's a question a lot of people have, but the same... My understanding is, we know that Daybreak is a safe place to live, and a lot of work was done to make that the case, and a lot of people love living there, and that this would be
yes.
The same.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Did you have any additional
I'll
questions?
I'll defer as well as my, my other colleagues.
We'll make our way back down. Okay.
She who must be obeyed. I mean, council members.
Go ahead.
That's funny. I was going to comment on the contamination of the land as well. When I first moved into Daybreak, I've lived there 19 years. I remember people living outside of Daybreak saying, well, you can't plant a garden because the land is so tainted. And I've had people even engage with me on social media just this week saying, oh, there's tons of tailings on this land. How irresponsible to put houses out there. And so to concur with what you said, Daybreak was cleaned up to the EPA standards. And some of the surrounding areas that are not in Daybreak weren't necessarily as strictly cleaned up. And so honestly, being in Daybreak, our land is actually really clean because it had EPA coming in and checking. Am I right?
Maybe Josh can speak to Daybreak specifically, but I can tell you about this land that we have done evaluations there, and areas, if needed, we would remediate. We wouldn't build on land that is unsafe.
So my recollection in Daybreak before I moved in is they were scraping the land, they were moving land, they were doing all kinds of really deep dives as far as securing that it was safe, the land and the dirt. And I have to bring in a ton of like mulch to get my garden to grow well because it's so clean. So I would imagine that you'd do the same out in this annexed land, but do you want to speak to that? Because I have had on social media, and then Carol brought it up again tonight, people concerned that it was a mining land and now we're turning it over.
Yep, happy to. So those, Josh Brown, Rio Tinto. The Daybreak project itself actually went deeper and removed more soil for higher than, you know, the EPA standards to build. So that's probably a part of your difficult to grow in particular spots. This land, there has been some brownfield site, meaning there was mining activities that took place on this. A large portion of this has seen no mining. That being said, initial research, initial studies environmentally show that this is at a level that would be Daybreak comparable or less. So if and where there are those areas, they will be to the strictest standards and be able to have, you know, homes built where homes can be built. If there something comes up where there would be an issue, you know, homes would not be built, but we'd also be back here discussing this with you and the community on what that means.
Perfect. Thank you. I just wanted the public to hear that you have
absolutely
a huge plan for that. And then my last...
And can I also add, and you would incur the cost of that. If there's a remediation to take place at all, developer does that. That's not going to land on the taxpayers of South Jordan City. That is, you're doing that.
Nope. It would fall upon the developers and the landowner.
Perfect. Thank you. Last question. In paragraph 5 of this memo of understanding, it talks about the open space. And I had some people talking to me this morning at our local city pool asking questions about parks. And I know we have in here that we are trying to advocate differently for our parks in this new development than we did in Daybreak, where we said you have to give a developer, you need to deliver parks, but we didn't do timelines.
Sure.
And so this MOU is going to get more detailed, but for right now, I think it's a really big win for our city that already we have factored in parks and we also have some timelines requiring the developer to deliver parks prior to 10 years from the time the MOU or the master development is agreed upon. So if we get to an agreement this summer, that would be 10 years from this summer, correct? Or no? Would it be 10 years from when you start?
Start, yes.
Okay. Okay.
It's not prior. It's 10 years. I just want, you said prior to 10 years.
We have up to 10
years.
Up to 10 years, yeah. So that they did construction up to 10 years. So they could do it at year 2 or 3. But
10 years after construction.
After construction.
10 years after the master developer commences construction.
Start for 5 years.
Yes.
Then it's 15 years before the park.
I think the important part is what you highlighted, Councilmember Zander, mm-hmm. is in lessons learned, and I wouldn't say it's just South Jordan, because as in discussions and negotiation, they agree getting this infrastructure, parks, not just the water and stuff, but what makes a community worth living was a high priority on both the city and Rio Tinto Kennecott's side. And so it wasn't like this was a hard ask. This was something that both sides want to, as Wayne expressed. I mean, residents of the city and residents of their community are going to live there. We want people to enjoy where they live, just like they enjoy different parts of South Jordan now.
Right. And I would just add, Councilman Zander, that the path will be to do it in a timely fashion, right? So it makes sense with the development. But, you know, so if it could be less than 10 years and it makes sense, we'd absolutely be doing that. Yeah. The comment made that Ryan just said, sitting both with you guys as well as internally, you know, the MDA that we did with Daybreak was different, revolutionary in some ways, right? There's ways to make it better, streamline appropriately. The comment on being, the goal is to be no distinction between South Jordan, as you know, the Daybreak comment, it wants to be a continuation of those things that are great with South Jordan. And Daybreak's a fabulous, fabulous project. You know, it was Kennecott's baby, if you will, but you know, we look to say, what have we learned in these 20 years? And how do we do it to the next level and better as we go forward?
Thank you. And my last comment, I would just concur with what Mr. Luce said. For the public that's listening in, as we, over the last week, as a city council has engaged and our attorneys engaged with you, I've been super impressed and appreciate the way we've been able to work together. Things like the ask for that park to be done in 10 years. There was no fighting. There was no digging in your heels. It was super civil. And I am really appreciative that we have this great working relationship and that I feel like all parties at the table want to get a best result. And I do feel that, and I'm really appreciative. My last question is open space. It has in here in paragraph 5 that 25% of the project, including parks, will be defined as open space. Remind me, in Daybreak, wasn't it 20%? And we've upped it to 25. Is that what's happening here? Just
that's
for clarity?
Correct.
Yeah, so we will have more open space compared to Daybreak, 5% more. So.
Okay. I think that's great for the public to hear.
I think 25% of the development is notable. I mean, of the land, of the property, right? That is worth mentioning.
And I mean, going back to your statement prior to Councilmember Zander, we appreciate your guys' input as well. I mean, we view this very much as a joint effort. And South Jordan, Rio Tinto Kennecott, but as well as the Southwest community. I mean, we recognize the conversations on traffic. I grew up on the border of South Jordan, West Jordan. Very much recognize that The east-west connections in our valley are a challenge, so we want to be part of it. Conversations on bike lanes, you know, we're looking at having active transportation as well as the infrastructure and roads to be, you know, adequate or above, and things are being discussed from wildlife corridors. I mean, just things, we're looking at all things. We want to bring them to the community, we want to bring them to you, and really do this in a holistic approach. The nice part about having this land for a lot of years, we want to do it in a timely, right fashion, not rush.
Mm-hmm. And I think you also have a good pattern. Daybreak has an excellent pattern of connectivity. If you go to neighboring, even neighborhoods, you get in and you have to turn around and get out. And one of the things that when I first moved into Daybreak bothered me was how dysfunctional it felt. But actually, they had a big master plan that I didn't understand 19 years ago. And now we see it in fruition. And there are multiple ways in and out of the community. And I expect and I plan that we all are a part of making that connect to this new part of the community. And that's a real big win because a lot of cities and a lot of developers never think through that. You get into their little group right. And then you get right back out and there's no connection. So I applaud what's been done in Daybreak and I'm excited to see us improve on that. So thank you.
Thank you. Wayne and I have spent a lot of time with other cities as well discussing the connectivity with them as well. So, I mean, it needs to be holistic.
Yep. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Overall, I really don't have a lot of questions for you guys. I'm very grateful for the details that have been worked out thus far. For me, a lot of my remaining questions will be resolved in the MDA. When I've talked to Ryan, it's like MDA, MDA, MDA.
That's too granular, huh?
Yeah.
We haven't gotten there yet.
So more of my concerns will be addressed later. This might be best for Director Schaefermeyer, but if you guys know, you can step in as well. What's the surrounding densities of this project? I know it was mentioned a little bit, like one might be like 7 units. Do we know further?
And I'm speaking a bit anecdotally here, but from what I understand is in the master developments that have been going up in the area, this would be less or equivalent to, you know, as we said, the Daybreak piece, but I'm looking to Ryan to give me the answer, but from what I understand.
I think he's pointing back at Stu.
And Steve, who are you going to point to?
Yeah, I anticipating this question, we pulled some of the MDAs signed for those developments and some other things. And so we have the Olympia project, Olympia Hills, it used to be called. Now it's just Olympia. When it was first approved by the county, it was 9.5 units per acre. When it was annexed into Harriman, it about 6.78 units per acre, almost 7 units per acre. The SLR property, Suburban Land Reserve, Mountain View Village in Riverton, is almost 7 units per acre, 6.99. And then the Wood Ranch and Jones Ranch plan developments, both in West Jordan, essentially the majority of their west side, are 5 units per acre max. They have a PC zone that, frankly, was modeled after South Jordan's PC zone that dictates 5 units per acre maximum.
Thank you. I just want to kind of emphasize that to the public of what we're doing to try and control the growth and density in South Jordan. We realize growth is happening all throughout the Salt Lake Valley, but we want to make sure South Jordan does it in a responsible way.
Well, and I just want to add on that as well. You know, we really want to emphasize that this is about good, smart planning and growth for us. We don't want to build something that doesn't fit or feel right for the community. And so we appreciate, again, the dialogue about what does that look like. We agree that, you know, it's the 5 units to the acre. It's the additional open space. And it's also about, you know, making sure that we use water appropriately. So we've kind of gathered all of that information. Now we are going to sit down and have very, you know, robust conversations with our planner, and then we can bring that back to the city and say, this is what that looks like. So the conversations we've had here, we've had with the other service districts, this is what those conversations look like in a master development agreement. And we can be more specific in the questions that you might have. So,
Mayor,
Sorry, over here. Hear a voice.
You know, for the longest time, if somebody says mom or dad, you know. Like, you just turn and look, no matter whose kid it is. Now if somebody says mayor, it freaks me out that I just turn and look. It's weird, but it's taken a while, and now I just do. So please, go ahead.
I think units per acre it's a hard concept. You know, the difference between 5 units per acre and 6, or even 5 and 5.5, what does that mean over across a property? And so if you were to apply the densities in the Olympia project and the Riverton project to this acreage, we're talking over 4,000 additional units. So the difference in those densities really do make a difference over the expanse of 2,000 acres.
That was a good data point. Thank you.
On top of that, too, they didn't factor in open space in those projects. Like, we have the 25% open space. Is that correct?
I can't talk to those specifics. I know the SLR property, a big portion of it is commercial, and so how that all works out in the details. Certainly Olympia includes some open space, but it's that agreement is very different. It is hard to compare the two agreements.
I think one thing to note is those 4,000 units, and Mr. Clavin, I'm going to put you on the spot. What's the average number of trips from a unit, from a traffic calculation day?
Single family is about 10 trips per day. Townhomes is probably 6.7 to 7 trips per day.
So that's, you know, 10 times the 4,000 or some portion of that, 6. But that it does make a difference for transportation, for water, for those things. And that's part of the overall picture.
Have a couple more comments, Mayor.
Go ahead.
Don't want to toot our horns too much up here.
Oh, do it. Just do it.
No, but I think this is kind of a great and maybe unique time for this to move forward. Two of us live in the Daybreak community, so we've grown through some of those trials and some of the wonderful things that have taken place up there. Everyone on the council's been here for a while. And so we have a lot of additional insight that we can give as we move forward with creating this new MDA. And I just want residents to kind of understand that perspective that we're able to bring at this time, along with the experience of our staff, because of the experience and length that we've been around. Another thing Mr. Bishop brought up was kind of how we have the duplicate services and sometimes feels like there's a divide. I think this will actually help the city in bringing us all together, because it won't be Daybreak's just the west side. We are bringing in, you know, all these additional homes, and I think it really brings the opportunity to unite us to where it's not just, oh, South Jordan, the Daybreak community. There's going to be more happening out there, and it gives us, as we expand our city services, you know, that further reach, it allows us to be better united. And, you know, on some of the things, like the Two Arts Council is actually brought up earlier today in a different meeting. It's allowed us, the city, to have extra art brought into the city that otherwise we wouldn't have the opportunity to have. And so there's plus and minuses to it. But I think by adding, you know, the additional community to the city, it will better help unite us. And that's everything for right now, Mayor.
Thank you. I'm going to come back down here and see if you had additional questions that have not yet been addressed.
They have been addressed, Madam Mayor.
Okay.
So I don't have any additional questions.
Thank you. Mr. Harris?
Yeah, I mean, I have lots of additional questions and things I'm interested in, but, you know, as Jason mentioned, a lot of these are just going to be the details that get worked out in the MDA. I mean, I appreciate all the time and the interactions that we've had. I feel like you've been very cordial and straightforward, and we've had communication lines completely open, and certainly appreciate that.
And right, same to you, and yeah. And please feel free to reach out, and we'll continue to do so. I mean, always, you know, the door is open.
Yep.
Thank you. Mr. Murr?
And my thanks would go to the group of Kennecott employees who are here today. I was fortunate to work with a group back in about 2000 when this was going on initially. And I would also express appreciation to them. And I'm really grateful for the staff members who are here today. Some have gone, who were here many, many years ago, or 23 years ago, when we did this in the initial Daybreak MDA. And I really appreciate everything that's going on now and all the people who've been involved. I don't know that we made a lot of mistakes, but we certainly have learned a lot along the way. And I think this go around will be even better. And so I'm excited and ecstatic to see it happening again.
Thank you.
Anything else you'd like to add? No. Thank you. I appreciate it. I want to just make note that as a city, we have tried. We've got way overboard, above and beyond what's required, above and beyond what we normally do for a public hearing to notice this. We have put extra giant signs, and we have put it out on our social media repeatedly. We have done everything we can to try to make sure our residents know that this is happening tonight and that they have a chance to come and weigh in tonight. Far more than is required. We've really tried to put it out there, and I do appreciate the collaborative process that's taking place. Just so people understand, this land could decide if the landowner gets to decide what they want to do with their land. Rio Tinto Kennecott came to South Jordan per the original agreements from 20 years ago. We'd still like to entertain this and talk to you about annexing into the city. There's always opportunity that you could have decided we're going to incorporate into our own community. We're going to create our own. We're going to incorporate and create our own community. You'll have impact and no say in what that looks like. That's an option. It's always an option with land this size that's unincorporated and could be incorporated. So I want to say that I appreciate you staying true to the agreements that were made by people who were here before me and before you, and as there were agreements made back in the day a long time ago, that this conversation would happen and that you would come and talk to us and that we would entertain it and consider it and have these discussions. That outlives a lot of us in this room, and I appreciate that you held true to that process because I think that was wise, and I think it's far better for South Jordan City to annex this land into our city with a master development agreement to build upon our history and proven track record as collaborative partners of creating successful, safe, well-integrated community. So much better than just incorporating onto your own, because we would have that impact, but we would not receive impact fees. We wouldn't have a say. We wouldn't be able to say 5 units per acre. None of that would be within our ability to even discuss. So I want to thank you for adhering to the process. There's been a lot of inaccurate information that's floated around. There's been a lot of accusatory information. There's been a lot of interesting things that have been said. And that kind of always goes along with something like this. People hear a little bit, or they have their own personal biases, or they, whatever it is. That's to be expected with a process like this. But I think that Rio Tinto and South Jordan City have both tried to be incredibly transparent and really share the information, truthful information, answer questions. I appreciate your efforts to create an initial website of questions as we're having these discussions, as we are entertaining the possibility, which has not been decided, but has been, let's figure out what that would even look like. You know, which, again, our predecessors agreed to, and so did yours, that we would have these conversations. So thank you for that and for everyone who's been part of this process, because I think it's been the way it should be done. And I think consideration, I want the public to know that when this conversation was initiated and Rio Tinto reached out and said, we would like to initiate our discussion that's in the agreement from a long time ago, and we are interested in annexing into South Jordan City, the number one concern for this elected body right here was, before we have this conversation, let us make it clear. We don't want this to be a financial burden on the rest of the current residents of South Jordan. So we're not going to entertain actually having very many discussions with you at all if the result is going to be a financial impact of raised taxes and more obligation by the residents who already live here. We made that really clear. from the get-go. And I appreciate that that's exactly what we still intend to do, but what we are making happen. And if this land annexes into South Jordan, it is with that clear understanding. I want that to be clear. I want people to know that. We all live here. You all live here. There are going to be more people who come. This is the only undeveloped land left right. in Salt Lake County. And the landowner has made their decision. They would like to annex into South Jordan City. We've entertained the discussion, and we've had a great deal of information. But to be clear, this council has been very clear, not at the expense of the people who already live here. So I want to make sure that that's out there and really clear. With that, I appreciate your collaborative nature. And things like this are no small thing. Anyone who tries to say this happened fast or this happened, this is not a fast process and has been really clear. A master development agreement would take a long time. So lest anyone say, but it says A5 and now you're, you know, there's no bait and switch. It's very clear that if this is approved, the A5 is a holding zone for what will become 5 units to the acre. Very clear on that. That's what it is. That's how it's written. It's what we've discussed tonight. It's in all of the public documentation. That's what it is. So I just want to make sure people understand that is our discussion. That's what's written here. And if it's approved, that's what it will be. So with that, if there's nothing else, I will thank you for your time and your presentation. Go ahead if you have any final comments.
I would just like to say thank you to the council and you, Mayor, and and the staff. There has been a lot of conversations. There's been a lot of back and forth to understand where everyone is at. So we appreciate your time and the effort that you put into this. We also appreciate the guardrails that you've given us in the, if you approve the MOU, that you will give us in moving forward in an MDA. And I hope the public understands that this is just the beginning of a process. There's a lot of planning that has to happen. There's a lot of information to come forth. And I get the concern that, you know, there is 2,000 acres potentially being brought into the city. What does that mean? But I think the MOU puts those guardrails around us so we can signal that it's not going to be any greater density than another master development agreement in the city. It puts those in place, and then we can start adding those finite details. And I would encourage any member of the public that has questions, concerns, or want to learn more, they can visit kennecottlands.com. Like I said, there is an email there where they can send us questions. And I think that will be helpful if we continue to see the same question over and over. We can update the FAQ to say, okay, this is not just one individual. This is a general public question. And so we can make sure to take note of that and update it on the website. And, of course, engage with you as well to say, hey, this is what we're hearing. What are you hearing? And make sure we're getting information to the public. But, I appreciate it, and we hope you guys will support the annexation petition tonight.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate you guys being
here.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right. We will have the opportunity for deliberation, but that generally follows a motion. So I will turn to the council and ask if there is a motion on Ordinance 2023-05, annexing the area and extending the corporate limits of South Jordan City, Utah, to include the area described in Exhibit A and amending the South Jordan City zoning map to designate and zone the annexed area as agricultural A5 upon its annexation into the city of South Jordan.
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve Ordinance 2023-05 as stated.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion by Mr. McGuire and a second by Mrs. Zander. Any additional discussion that anyone would like to have? All right, did you have something, Mr. Myrna?
No, I was just thinking in my mind, I've said probably enough.
Okay, no worries, thank you. I'm going to ask Mrs. Crippston to please lead the council in a roll call vote.
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Marler?
Yes.
And Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
That is approved unanimously. We will now go to item H4, Resolution R-2023-18, authorizing the mayor to sign the Memorandum of Understanding between the City of South Jordan and Kennecott Utah Copper LLC for the development of the master plan community in the City of South Jordan. Mr. Luce.
Mayor and Council, we've discussed this agreement in the periphery. We've discussed the density, or really the number of units it gives, the open space, and the other commitments by both the city and the landowner and developer of how we will move forward should you choose to authorize the mayor to sign this agreement, this memorandum of understanding, and how we would move forward in drafting and working on the MDA and complying with all the different provisions of the PC zone. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
I don't have to also sign the MOU, but I would love to have the whole council eventually sign the MDA.
We can do that.
I agree. I like that.
I would love to do that.
I like that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I would be happy to make a motion that we approve resolution R-2023-18, authorizing you, Mayor, to sign the MOU.
All right, we have a motion by Mr. Marler. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Second by Mr. Shelton. Any additional discussion? Okay. Mrs. Crookston, would you please lead the council in a roll call vote?
Councilmember Marler?
Yes.
Councilmember Shelton?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
And Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
That is also approved unanimously. I don't know that we could put enough emphasis on how significant this is tonight. It is significant. I grew up in the shadows of the mine. I am from Magna, and then moved to South Jordan on the far west side of the city. So I have literally lived in the shadow of the mine and the Ochre Mountains for a very long time, my whole life. And to see this land that has never been brought forward in this way, being proposed as part of a long-term vision for how best to integrate that land eventually and to still protect mining operations and provide appropriate buffers for the mining operations that happen and the significant impact that has to the GDP of our state. It's monumental. In addition to, it's been 20 years since the boundaries of our city grew. I mean, it's a big deal. It's a big deal, and even though it's a 40-year project, just having the boundaries change is significant. But I also think that because this also now brings you back to the table and allows you to be part of the discussions on water infrastructure and transportation infrastructure and all the things, everything in advance as a long-range planning exercise, I'm proud of this city because I think that's what we do best. And I think we're very good at that. We've got a proven track record of that, and so do you. And for that, I think there are always people who are resistant to change. I get that. Even though this is a 40-year change, and we may not even be alive by the time all of this rolls out. Some of it, but not all of it, right? As this is a long-term... I mean, that's weird, right, to be old enough to say that, but it's true. However, this is the best thing that could be decided by these landowners, I think, as far as how to make sure to get it right and with the most renowned and award-winning proven track record in the state, in the country, in a lot of ways. So it is significant and monumental, and a zillion hours have gone into even determining if this is the right thing on your end, on our end, and on behalf of everybody that we all represent and your interests globally, all the things, and the residents that we represent. So I just want to say thank you for all of the work that's been done. I find myself often, very often, I just want to drive out west, and I drive up 111, I drive along this property, I drive the routes, I drive the undeveloped areas, the contemplated areas. I look out over the growth. I drive north and south along where the other developments have been approved, and I look at this land a lot. That sounds nerdy, but I actually find peace doing so. In my mind's eye, I can see almost what this undeveloped land could look like. I love the video that you brought. I thought that was fantastic. I was looking for my grandpa on that video. I'm like, I wonder if he's in it, you know, who worked for Kennecott. I'm proud of this partnership and the concern that I can reassure you, and you can take it or leave it, whoever's listening to this. But there is great concern by everyone working on this to make sure we get this right, that we can maintain and ensure the quality of life for the residents who live in South Jordan now and for those who will come. And they are going to come. So it's critical that we get this right. And I think this is the best next step toward making sure that's the case for the entire region. So thank you. Thank you. And all of you who have worked on this.
Well said, Mayor.
Thank you. Okay. Item I. It feels weird to just go on to item I. Staff reports and calendaring items. I'm like, this is a big deal. Staff reports and calendaring items. I will turn first to Mr. Lewis and Mr. Watcott, see if either of you have anything for us.
I have no items, Mayor.
No.
Okay. Mr. Lewis, do you have anything for us?
As several of you know, well, as all of you, I think, know, tomorrow we have the HDRZ application for the
Central Station
area out in Daybreak. And that will be with the, are they commission or board? I can't remember what they're called.
Committee.
And so all of you are invited to attend. It begins at 2:30. And it's at Station 64, although you're not required. I do not believe there's a virtual option, but I don't know for sure.
There's not a virtual option. We will be recording it. It's an audio recording that I know we're required. We just found that out today, that we are required to audio record it, but there's not a virtual option.
They were kind enough to allow us to do it at our building on site so they can see the area, which is nice. And there's 11 committee members from different entities, including the mayor.
Do you need to notice it?
There, since it's not our meeting. Oh, you mean if you as a council attend?
Yeah,
attend tomorrow. Yeah, and Ms. Crookston, we could put together a potential quorum if they attend there pretty easily, can't we? Yeah, we'll take care of that.
Yeah, that's a good call.
As I say, they have to do their noticing for the meeting, but yeah, you're right. Yeah. If
and it
you
is
all
the
show
Office
up.
Of Economic
Look
Opportunity.
Call out the attorney.
Very good.
Put it in your journal.
I will. I will. And so from that standpoint, then following up in the next week, several of us will be meeting with our congressional delegation to advocate for some of our projects and some of the things that are going on. I think Mr. Harris, Ms. Ander, the mayor, and I.
That Ryan emailed us about kind of a run of show for that.
That Mr. Levitt emailed us. It kind of got the schedule for Tuesday the 28th.
Like kind of the order of who would be.
It's in your email.
And say what and kind of stuff.
Yeah. I got all those emails.
Okay.
And then, yeah, we'll have a pre-meeting Friday at 10. So,
okay.
And those are the main things on my radar. I don't have anything else, Mayor.
Okay. Anyone else have anything? No? Anyone on this side? Mr. Clavino.
I wanted to give Mayor and the council a heads up. That Gardner Dental that's going in at 114th South and 1300 West.
The Little People's Dental?
Yeah. They have to go in and get the sewer in, and they want to do that next week when it's spring break. A little less traffic because the school district will be out. But we'll have to close 1300 West for 3 to 4 days. Right there, they've got a detour plan and everything and have the reader boards. But the sewer's down about 25 feet and out in the middle of the road, and it's the only way to do it. I don't know what to say other than ouch, but anyhow, so that's beware that's coming up. Now, that could change if we have bad weather next week, but that's the plan right now.
And we'll be able to put out message boards and on our social media, but things for the commuters, the drivers to know it's coming.
Yeah, we'll get with Rachel. We're just talking about this afternoon. They're supposed to get the reader boards up tomorrow, and we'll get with Rachel on this stuff. So.
But, every time Brad Clavino have a heads up for us, it's something like this.
Mr. Clavino, it's not going to disrupt 114th traffic.
No.
Okay.
Except for if you're turning on
to
13th going north.
Yeah.
Well, when the school right there is closed is probably wise.
It is the best time,
yeah.
I'll say.
And then the other heads up, And this is not for a couple of weeks, but we have, you know, federal money or STIP money to widen Riverfront Parkway from 114th up to the first roundabout to make that two lanes in each direction. It's been on the plans for a little while, but we're now doing the environmental for it. And there's going to be a public meeting here at the City Hall on Thursday, April 6th at 6 o'clock. I think that, Patrick, I think that's your district. But just a heads up, when we get closer, I'll send this out to you just as a reminder. But the actual project probably won't happen until next year because these federal projects take way longer than anything. But anyhow, so that's just a heads up on that, too.
Thank you. Anyone else? Rachel, anything for us?
Nope. Okay. I know. That's a good one. We'll definitely be communicating that one out thoroughly, so no worries there.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. If no one has anything else, I will ask if there... Oh, I do want to mention, with potential flooding, this has been on our social media, and an alert came to my phone tonight about potential flooding in the city and the efforts that have been made. We've got 3 15-foot-long dumpsters full of sand and 1,000 sandbags and shovels that residents can use if they need sandbags.
But where are they? Where's this located?
I don't know where it's located.
Public Works.
Is it a Public Works?
It's a Public Works. We'll deploy them where we need them.
Okay. Oh. So as needed, they'll be where they're needed. Okay. But just a reminder that we are mindful there are areas of the city that could, depending on what happens with the moisture experience, especially along the Midas Creek. Yeah, the Midas Creek, Creeks. I think. There's a couple of places in Daybreak that tend to be in kind of a flood-ish zone area. It's rare, but it's happened before, but also along the Midas Creek. So I appreciate that messaging, but also just want people to know we are mindful and have supplies ready should you need them.
Just in terms of messaging, Mayor, there is an FAQ on our website now. We definitely got a lot of questions about it, and so a lot of really great information there. We're also encouraging people, if they find the answers to their questions not there, to send us a message. There's a link on there to the email address to send that to, and we'll find the answers and make sure they're up on that FAQ. So basically, in general, in terms of this messaging, there are areas that are more prone than others, and there are areas that are significantly less prone than others, but in general, it's always good to be prepared. And so there's some messaging regarding that. So if you all get a chance, just check that out on our website. On our homepage, it's the top article in the news section there.
Rachel, on that, do you have any kind of a map that shows who's more prone to potential flooding? Are we identifying that?
So Matt Jarman sent several very helpful map links regarding all the different flood zone areas, and those are included in the FAQs. Okay. So they are available. And you can get to all of that through that top article on the homepage, and we'll make sure that sticks around at that top one for a while until hopefully this passes soon.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, if there's nothing else, I'll ask if we can if there is a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
Second. Give it to whoever.
Okay. All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you so much. Thanks for